This episode of the Interhoe Uprising is sponsored by you. That's right, you. All of your Patreon donations, PayPal donations, five-star reviews on Apple and Spotify, shoutouts on social media, articles, mentions to your friends, IHU merchandise purchases, all make the show possible week in and week out. And for that, we thank you, homies. Welcome to the Interhoe Uprising, the podcast about sex, love, and dating from the perspective of me, Sam, one black, non-monogamous, pansexual feminist hoe who lives in New York City, whose pronouns are they, them, she, and her, and who really can't wait to take these long nails off. Shout out to those who can. I can't type. I can't, like, I have to take out my braids. I can't take out my braids. It's just rough out here.
But they're cute. And me, Rodecca, one nailless, fat, polyamorous, pansexual femme, whose life is a series of coincidences that somehow landed her here, and her pronouns are she and they, and who is drinking coffee to get back to life because she's very tired.
Every episode of the Interhoe Uprising works like this. Myself and my lovely rotating co-hosts talk about sex, love, and dating as it pertains to current events in the world, our lives, and yours. And occasionally, we hit you with interviews with insightful folks or do deep dive episodes on a topic of our choice. This episode, we're talking about polyamorous wins, interracial relationship shenanigans, Indigenous knowledge of gay-ass animals, hiding stuff from your spouse, fresh eyes on a freaky song from the early aughts, and much, much more. Mm.
And if you would like to follow along with this conversation had in this podcast on social media, you could do so by using the hashtag Interhoe Uprising, or you could tweet us at Interhoe Uprising without the G on Twitter. We're also Interhoe Uprising on Instagram and Facebook.
Oh, hell no! Okay.
All right, let's get into our first segment. It is Fuck Yes or Fuck No. This is a newer segment in which one of us reads through headlines related to sex, love, and or dating, and the other decides, fuck yes, I would like to learn more, or fuck no, I never want to hear that again in my entire life. Rodecca has some headlines for me.
All right, I do have some headlines for you. The first one we have is, as an Instagram boyfriend, I feel Pete Davidson's pain. How do you feel about that?
Absolutely the fuck not. Absolutely. How did that even get? Did you find that yourself?
Yes, I did. Because I was I was looking at the email. I was like, yeah, you know, I want to surprise Sam with something. So I was like, I looked this one up and I was like, I knew from the title she would just not want to hear it, but I was ready to talk about it anyway.
I hate it. Maybe save it for next
episode. Got it. Yeah, let's see what if a cool might want to hear about it.
I personally hate it. What's next?
Woman cancels wedding after finding secret folder on fiance's computer.
Yes. Although I am scared.
This one I didn't open because I also wanted to be surprised. Because I was like, oh man, okay. Okay.
This could be another fucking cat thing, bro. Shout out to the ones who know about the cat episode, but
it's another TikTok thing. Okay. And then it says, it's a TikTok video that says, imagine being engaged 3 months away from your dream wedding. Invitations are sent, and on a random Thursday, finding out your fiance has been hiding a porn folder, which included photos of your sisters and his coworkers.
Oh, wow.
Oh, you know where my mind went. I was like, oh, it could go so many places. This is the worst.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be a Black Mirror episode up in here. But, okay, that's pretty bad. Is that even porn?
Because I was like, what could be the porn of their sister? Getting such a huge reaction, basically, after she posted that little snippet of words, Maria proceeded to explain what had happened in the comment section. He was helping me apply for a job because my computer wasn't working. He downloaded my resume to his work computer and went to his folder files to look where the files were downloaded. After clicking on the particular folder, she discovered photos of her sisters and other individuals. He said he would stare at the photos during work and picture them naked because he was bored, and it was a thrill for him to do so during work.
Wait, so it wasn't porn?
It wasn't porn. It was just, he would cyber stalk her sisters and crop regular photos off of Instagram and use them for porn purposes.
I'm actually speechless.
But there's porn. I don't know. Like, I just like.
Yeah, I don't. That's not porn.
It's not. It's just photos. Right? It's just photos.
Yeah. it's masturbatory fodder, but that's not pornography. But also, what the fuck?
I just like, why would he give up the ghost like that? Like, it was, I could have just, well, was the file labeled stuff I masturbate to at work? Because like,
How did she get in there? Why was it on his laptop that, like, was it on the desktop?
Why was he not more cautious? Like, if you it seems like he doesn't even care. Yeah, wasn't that
on a hard drive, like, under...
Yeah. It doesn't even seem like a secret folder. He opened it and said, I wonder if my resume ended up here. My wife's resume ended up here. He didn't see mine at all.
Or she was being really nosy. Like, she didn't tell her true business. She was like, oh yeah, I was looking for the resume. She went through. Now you could like open every single folder.
She just, that's the story. Basically, all the comments are just like, better than a divorce, babe. You saved yourself. You saved them. Like his sisters, he could have done something.
Wait, his sisters?
Sorry, her sisters.
Oh,
which is kind of like
that's a whole different story.
That's so weird.
But yeah,
there's no coming back from that. Now that I think about it, I was like, you can't even be like, nah. And it's their regular sister, like their regular pictures. So it's like every time you're around my sister, I'm gonna remember that. Nah,
that's fucking like I. I'm not, you can't really police anybody's fantasies or whatever.
Yeah.
But you can decide what's a no-go.
Yeah, exactly. What's a hard boundary for you? And that's like, this is fair.
Yeah, I think this is fair.
Because, like, why save the photos? I just keep thinking, just go on their Instagram. I'm not trying to say that any of this is right.
I don't know.
It's just,
I don't know what homeboy was going through. And, like, the fact that they were cropped, I don't even.
Took the mom out, I don't but know. Left the sisters.
I was also thinking it was like body part cropped, but she's like, oh, I recognize those titties. Those are my sister's titties. This is fucked up.
I'm going to go with that.
Maybe this segment was a bad idea. Because every time I'm just like,
I didn't want to talk about that, you know? Like, yeah, I get it.
Okay. Yeah. Next one.
And then the next one is, I have sleepsomnia. It's like sleepwalking, but for sex.
I'm legitimately fearful to say yes to this one.
Do you not want to?
I don't know. How much do we have time to not do that? Did you read that one?
I didn't read that one.
Oh, fuck.
So it could be all just right, bad. But maybe,
let's,
you know,
start a little bit.
I'm curious about what exists out there.
Yeah. For educational purposes. Okay, hold on. But it could just go so wrong.
This is a New York Post article by Caitlin Hornick. A woman who reportedly suffers from sexsomnia has revealed how the condition can lead to some embarrassing overnight visits. The largely unknown condition is akin to sleepwalking, but involves sex acts. It's explained as a rare type of parasomnia. The sexsomnia sleep disorder can result in a variety of behaviors. People with the condition have been known to masturbate, make sexual vocalizations, touch a partner, and even experience a spontaneous orgasm all while sleeping. Some even initiate intercourse with a partner. In a study conducted in 2017, only 17 cases were reported out of 16,000. The same study also found that 47% of patients there has a history of sleepwalking and or night terrors. So about half of that had the sleepwalking condition, but only 17 of the half were, you know, reported to have the sexsomnia. Most people suffering from the condition will remember anything they did or said during the night upon waking up. Some sexsomniacs might also wake up feeling confused. One woman named Morgan Modriata told Well and Good, or it's like Well Plus Good, I guess it's a magazine, that she had an episode at a friend's house but had no idea anything had occurred. While staying with a friend, Mondriota was moaning so loudly in her sleep, it woke up her friend's entire family, leading them to believe leading them to believe that Mondriota and her friend were having sex. The woman woke up the next day with no clue anything had occurred. I'd be waking her up like, girl, you got here wild.
Yeah, you gotta stop.
It wasn't until the next evening when her friend texted her that Mondriota had an idea that she had been making noises. Wait, why did she wait the next day at night? That's the first thing I'm telling you when you wake up. I'm like, hey, yo, bro, you was moaning crazy. My whole family heard you.
Had a bit of a dream last night, Morgan.
How you feel? You know what I mean? That's the first thing I'm waking up with my, like, so. What are you thinking about? Like, because, nah, there's no way a whole day is passing by. I didn't tell you my whole family knew you was
born. Maybe they didn't know how to navigate the situation. It seems hella maybe awkward. Maybe it's
the first sleep over. Who knows? But, like, yeah. That is something very interesting that's, like, kind of out of the ordinary. I understand that. Research indicates that a variety of factors can contribute to the condition, including stress, lack of sleep, and even exhaustion. Some sexsomniacs experience the effects of the disorder more often than others. Mandriota, for example, said she wakes up masturbating a few times each month. While the condition is incredibly rare, it can be managed. Open communication is essential, as consent can become an issue for partners of sexsomniacs. I'm glad they put that in there. Yeah,
that was like the number one thing in my brain.
I was
thinking about
them too. I was like, how does the other person feel? Some partners may need to sleep in separate beds or rooms depending upon the frequency of the sexsomniac experiences. Therapy is another option for helping manage a disorder. In some cases, medication can help, especially if there's underlying issues. If you're concerned or are experiencing symptoms of sexsomnia, talk to your doctor and then tell us.
That was an informative article.
They didn't seem like they were like poking fun at it or anything like that. They were like, this is something that happens to some people. Shout out to Mandriota for sharing both of those stories.
Word.
I didn't think this was a thing. I never thought about this.
Never. I've never heard of that. I don't even know anybody who sleepwalks.
When I was younger, I used to be like really sleepwalk. I used to walk around the room and
Oh, you sleepwalk.
Yeah, I sleepwalk.
Oh, you did it.
But mostly I slept talk. Like you could ask me for my address and I could give you like my accurate address. Like my family would do that. Or like they would ask me certain questions and I'd like do it accurately. And I was like, please don't take advantage of me. But I was a child.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't think I do that anymore. I think I'm pretty solid on like sleep. No partner has said that to me. So yeah, we're all set.
Just keeping it in. Or maybe they don't even know. Like, oh, this bitch is walking around trying to get a cup of water.
And meanwhile, I'm rummaging and doing stuff. Exactly. I've seen a lot of TikToks where like there's like people who record themselves sleepwalking and they do really random things and that's interesting. But this could be potentially harmful as well, obviously. So like, you know, if this is something you do, you're not alone. It's interesting.
I appreciate that. I appreciate people on TikTok sharing
the actuality of it. Like we're not.
Because to me, it's just like paranormal activity.
That's true.
The first thing I think of. That's why it kind of freaks me out.
Okay, because they do be having like the night vision cameras and stuff like that, and it does kind of like give you that same vibe. So I understand the found footage stuff. Exactly. Yeah.
Hey, ain't nobody trying to hear that bullshit. Oh.
All right, we're moving on into "Fuck Is That Sound." This is the segment where we analyze horny and/or problematic, sometimes both, songs from yesteryear. So today we're talking about a song called "Freak a Leak" by PD Pablo. Do you remember "Freak a Leak" by PD Pablo?
I do remember "Freak a Leak" by PD Pablo.
Did he say your name in the song?
I think he does. I don't know though.
We're gonna go through the lyrics.
The only person that I distinctly remember saying my name was Sean Paul, and I remember being like Jody and Rebecca. What?
He did say Jody and Rebecca.
Yeah, I was like, and who? Shout out to me, that's yo. Funny. Yeah, yeah.
So this is "Freak a Leak" by PD Pablo, produced by Lil Jon. Crunk, yeah, the genre, came out December 1st, 2003, written by notably Lil Jon and PD Pablo himself. So it starts off with some shit that happens in the music video that I'm not going to read because I don't care. But the hook is, how you like it, daddy? Would you do it from the front? Would you do it from the back? How you like it? Gonna break it down like that. Okay, so she keeps saying how you like it, dad. And he's like, would you do it from the front? And he says that again. What do I have to say about that? Let me bring up my other notes. Okay, so she's asking, how do you want to have sex? And he is simply offering missionary and doggy off rip. So through this segment, I would like to demonstrate with this lyrical analysis that despite being called freakily,
he's not freaky at all.
It's not very freaky. He's not freaky at all.
That's
perhaps
what this essay, yeah, that's what you're putting in this essay?
In this essay.
Oh, I didn't know that we were doing that. Okay.
In this essay, I got will. It. Okay, so let's read the very tough first verse. 24, 34, 46, because all rap has to mention the slim waist thing. Good and thick, what you give her, she'll work with it. Pretty face and some cute lips. Earring in her tongue. This man doesn't even know what a tongue is. Is that an earring in there? No, it's just a different piercing. He sounds like an old ass nigga. Like, I think he was like maybe like in his late 20s, early 30s when this came out.
Because he sounded like a grizzly man. Like a grizzly 40-year-old, 50-year-old.
Not an earring and a tongue. Come here, girl. And she know what to do with it. Made a name for herself so she do her shit well, and you know how she keep her business to herself. I'm sorry, I don't really remember the cadence of this, so I'm gonna get it, go in and out of it.
Of course, I don't either. We know the screaming and yeah.
Yeah, exactly. No. Come over anytime, nigga, call, check. 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, ding dong, and she right there. And she know why she came here. She know where the clothes supposed to be off and over there. Sniff a little coke, take a little X, smoke a little weed, drink a little bit. I need a girl I could freak with and want to try shit and ain't scared of a big dick and love to get her pussy licked by another bitch because I ain't drunk enough to do that shit.
No! No!
Yeah.
Petey's whack.
So there's actually...
Petey's whack!
There's a lot... There's a lot in this. Like, that whole drugs part was like, well, that's questionable.
That was wild.
That's a bit rapey.
Dang, that's a lot to it's the stacking.
Yeah, exactly.
You wouldn't stack all those things in one night.
Exactly. That's a
don't
rapey
do that,
thing
y'all.
To do. Like, oh,
see,
hey,
see, this is horrible.
Take this. But yeah, in the interest of time, I want to talk about how he wants a freak who will quote unquote try shit, but as of right now, doesn't offer anything new. Interesting, exciting, novel, or even pleasurable.
He has nothing to bring.
You want a freak, but you don't give head.
If anything, the other bitch is doing more freaky shit than you are.
Exactly.
Straight up.
Exactly. So my hypothesis is that he actually just wants a living, breathing masturbatory device.
That's exactly what it is.
Let's go on to the name part. Freakalik, Shamika, Keisha, Tara, Freakalik, Shauna, Sabrina, I'm fucked up, Crystal, Deronda, Freakalik, Lisa, Felicia, Tanisha, Siobhan. I don't know how I keep fucking up the rhythm, whatever. Monica, Monique, Crystal, Yolanda.
Wow.
If you don't say Sam in a song that has names, I actually already don't like the song. So we started off with beef there, to be honest.
And honestly, Rebecca would have fit anywhere in there. They're all A names.
They're all A names.
Like, they all ended with A's.
Right. He could have done it.
They knew.
Verse 2. I need to know a whole lot that could teach me abroad, need a ding-dong, stick a tongue, and take her to a ball. What the fuck is he talking about?
I need some of that. I don't know. It sounds like some good shit. Need a ding-dong, stick a tongue, and take her to the ball.
What is he talking about?
Is that money?
What is he talking about? Like, I know all of these words, but together in this order, that means nothing to me. Just like, get in some fucking syllables, nigga. Just do it.
That's it.
And then just say it fast.
We got to stretch these bars, yo. What you got? Start throwing fucking darts at a board.
Ding dong. Stick me a ball? What the fuck? Okay, where am I now? I had to go ahead do that for her. It's an action that he did. What did he do?
He did us a favor. He did the audience a favor.
I'm spoiled and I don't like to work that hard. I like to lay back, relax, and enjoy my turn. Let my eyes roll back and my toes curl. Love it when you do that, girl. But this is the essence, actually, of Petey Pablo having sex. He does nothing.
He does nothing. He lies there. He's a pillow princess.
Exactly.
Okay, that's fair.
Sure.
You're prerogative, but I don't need to get in there. But,
sure. You know. Sure. Till it come time for me to give her hers. Tell me what you want. Do you want a missionary with your feet crammed to the headboard?
Mm-hmm.
So when I was a kid, because he would say, like, with your feet crammed to the headboard.
To the headboard.
And he was saying it all, you know, like you said, he had that grit in his voice. I was like, because they kind of bleeped it out, like probably missionary or whatever, when it would come on BET or whatever. So I was like, yo, he's talking about some wild shit. With your cramp? What? What is that?
He moved a little paper and it's just missionary. Well, granted, missionary is my favorite position, so I'm not discounting missionary.
But this is a song called
Freak
of the
Week. Yeah, exactly.
And he's talking about not only missionary, he's talking about having missionary on a twin size bed, because why are your feet cramped to the headboard? What's happening? Why is the bed that small?
Well, her legs are over her feet. I mean, her head, right? That's what I assumed.
Push down a little bit.
Yeah, you're right. You could definitely make some room. It doesn't you're right. Need There's no reason for anybody to be crammed. Yeah.
Okay, would your feet crammed and then boy? All right. Or, freakily, do you want it from the back with your face in the pillow so you could yell as loud as you want to? As I said.
Is he not rich?
He offers missionary and doggy style.
That's true.
Yeah, is he not rich?
Because I was like, why can't people hear me?
Where is he? Or maybe he wasn't rich at this time. I don't know.
That's true.
North Carolina had come out. That was his only hit, I believe. And here's another part where as a kid, because they were bleeping out so much, I was like, oh, shit. Do you want it on the floor? Do you want it on the chair? Do you want it over here? Do you want it over there? Do you want it in your pussy? Do you want it in your ass? I could give you anything you can handle. He's giving nothing.
He gave me two options.
He gave me missionary. Four options. Oh, yeah. He did give anal four options. There's missionary, yeah, there's doggy, and there's
floor,
anal.
The chair. That's the first two. And the second one is in your pussy or your ass. But, like, over here, over there is a fill in the blank for me. So, like, maybe that'll be the wild turn. Then I'll be like, yeah, Saint-Tropez and Curacao. Then we're having a good time.
That's not what he's offering because your feet are crammed on my little bed.
You know, damn right I ain't going out the country for this one. And you lazy? So, no. I already know.
I just feel so deceived because all of these were blocked out. So I was just like, oh, shit. This nigga's fucking wild crazy. He said on the floor or on the chair. You're not even leaving the room. Fuck Curacao. No. You're not even leaving the room. Not no, like, you know, fucking on the counter, like that whole thing.
No. This is the least freakish thing I've ever seen in my life. This sounds like we're having sex in a dorm room and my roommate can't hear me. So, or
that
like,
is exactly
my roommate
having
back.
Sex in a dorm room because that's all we would do. Not on the floor. I had a really hard floor. But, like, yeah, the chair and the bed. And it was a twin-size bed. I think it was smaller.
I know. This was describing that exact scene. I understood. Yeah.
That's it.
That's it.
Yeah. That's the proof.
10-year-old Rebecca was jamming to that. You know? Just freakily. Hey. Yeah.
Very sad. All right. Let's move on to something not that. Now, here's a heads up for everybody. Next week, we're taking a break, but only for non-patrons. If you love IHU and want to support us and don't want to miss out on our monthly patron-only episodes, you can become a $5 a month contributing member to our community. You'll get that monthly bonus episode plus access to the weekly content, hangouts, and resources we put up for you on Patreon. For example, Rebecca is hosting a patrons-only hangout this week. Is there a theme? You just kicking it with the homies?
We're just kicking it this week. I really want... It's usually on Thursdays, and this week is 421. So maybe, you know, let's share some tales about that. But there's no definitive theme this time. It's just a hangout.
Yeah. Word. I fuck with that. If you're not down for that and still want to support us monetarily, you can also hit up our PayPal. Links to both the Patreon and the PayPal are in the show notes. If you want the extra bonus episodes, that's $5 a month. But if you want to just do the weekly stuff, like hang out with Rebecca, that's only $2 a month. So you got options.
Yay.
Oh my God, what is that? Oh my God, what is that?
All right, let's move on to fuck is this. This is a moment to discuss, rant about, or laugh at the nonsense in the realm of sex, love, or dating. We have a lot of ridiculous things today. So I reversed the order that was initially in the document because I think it just leads to more and more mess.
Okay.
So I'll start with this mess and then you'll get into your mess. So we are first talking about the dog leash wedding. I'm going to read from an article in the New York Post who really produced the fuck out of this episode. It's the third article.
New York Post is just giving us content, bro.
This article is called Interracial Newlyweds Blasted for Quote Unquote Offensive Dog Leash Wedding, Get Out Vibes. This is written by Asia Grace on April 12th, 2022. It was published. And it begins, as New York Post does, "This may be rough to watch."
You do have to stop after. It's just so, it tickles me. I love it.
Love a good pun. An interracial bride and groom are in the digital doghouse as a controversial clip from their wedding shows the seemingly white wife escorting her new husband, an apparent black man, into their reception on a dog leash. Let me actually give you the link so you can watch it as I'm reading the article, because it is unfortunately worth watching.
Oh, Lord.
The Alexander wedding. No. Reads the caption of the viral video, which has garnered over 254,000 TikTok views. The snippet shared by @Tenagi is also punctuated with the hashtag walk the dog. The TikToker told the Post that the couple, Teresa Tra and Mark Kenzie Alexander, hosted their wild wedding in Gallatin, Tennessee on April 2nd. Per the footage, the newlyweds make their entrance to a small celebration hall to funk icon George Clinton's 1982 track, Atomic Dog. For folks who don't know, that's the Bow Wow Wow, Yippee-Yo, Yippee-Yay, Bow Wow, Yippee-Yo, Yippee-Yay song. Have you watched the video?
I'm watching it right now. The sound is off. But okay. As you're speaking, I'm watching him writhing on the ground. Just enjoying it, though. I'll say one thing. Both people are very involved.
They're both having a good time. Yes. This was not forced.
He is pretending to pee on the bottom of her legs right now. Thank you. Wow. I needed this visual, and I really appreciate it. So thank you.
The article continues, as they saunter into the center of the cheering crowd, the harness groom gets down on all fours, as Rebecca just described, and begins crawling like a canine. I want to note that as he does that, like as he walks into frame and gets down, there's a child right in front of him.
Oh, yeah.
And I believe it's their child just because like the kid looks mixed. And also like your kid, all kids are like running around. But like the fact that the kid was so close to the bride and groom makes me think like,
he must know them. Yeah.
Mommy, daddy. Oh, daddy, why are you doing that? Get up. Stand up. Y'all be weak in the knees. Stand up.
Stand up.
Article continues. He goes on to sit back on his haunches and stick out his tongue, mimicking a panting dog in heat. Then, reassuming a pup's position on his hands and knees, the man plants his face into the blushing bride's pelvic region and mimes urinating on her leg.
This article is produced. This person's into it. This is exactly what's happening.
Shaking my damn head set us back 100 years, barked one commenter.
Barked.
Comparing the couple's questionable stunt to the unsettling image of white plantation owners dragging chained African Americans around by iron leashes during slavery. I find this very offensive in every way, howled another. Howled, but also I find this offensive in every single way. Any way that I can be offended, I am.
In every way. Period.
Not one person there had nothing to say about this BS, exclaimed another cross critic. Everyone just happy and clapping along. Ain't no way. And yes, I will verify that the black side of the family and the white side of the family, everybody was having a good ass time.
Everyone is cheering.
They loved it.
We're interrupting.
Exactly. One person likened it to Jordan Peele's award-winning film Get Out, which is centered around an interracial relationship that takes a horrifying turn. This has given me the movie Get Out vibes, shaking my head, the commenter wrote. Others shamed the sweethearts for performing their cringeworthy choreography in the presence of little kids. There's children here, shaking my head. I'm mad at everyone. Wrote an outraged reviewer emphasizing her disdain with several fiery red furious emojis. This would have been the perfect time to say no children at the reception, another agreed.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
The dominating digital disapproval notwithstanding, a small fraction of onlookers seem to defend the spouses in their now infamous display. Not y'all offended about what this couple wanted to do for their wedding, rebuked a cyber supporter. I'm sure it was his idea just as much as it was hers. It sure looked like it.
I will say in that particular situation, there's no refuting that he was also involved in this. Yeah. You could see he was in it.
He was in it. Maybe even more than her. Yeah.
Exactly. Maybe even more passionate than her.
He was having a kid.
Yeah. Yeah.
This nigga was having a fucking grand old time. So far, neither the bride nor groom has openly commented on their big day chaos, and online audiences are growling with fury over the pair's puzzling production. I have some things to say. My first thing is I hate raunchy wedding moments. Like, I don't like that he got down with the kid there and all that kind of stuff. But I also hate, like, oh, dances. Let me set... Dances are fine. I hate when people like do the fucking garter belt and they go under the dress and they like act like they're eating the bride's pussy. And it's like,
yeah,
your parents are here. Her parents are here. Children are here. And honestly, I'm here. And I don't fucking want to see that. Otherwise, I would have asked y'all, do you have OnlyFans? Like, ugh.
That's true.
Leave us all the fuck alone.
I find particularly when I'm saying dances, I do actually mean all dances because I just am a hater bitch, whatever. But I'm also talking about particularly like sexy dances because I've seen it where it's just like, oh, we're like seducing you on the, and I'm like, why? I don't get it.
Yeah.
I just want to, you know.
It's just like, and this kind of relates to my next point, but it's just like this huge, like cishet people think that we care that much about their relationships and like their commitment to what, like, are you guys even having good sex? Like, studies show he's probably not even, let me put my face in her crotch, but like studies and surveys show she's probably not even getting orgasms from this nigga.
Yeah.
Like, statistically speaking, like women in relationships with cishet men like orgasm the least out of anybody.
Yeah.
So why the whole
thing? So what are you showing off?
Yeah, what are you showing off? It's the Freaka League song, honestly. It's like, oh yeah, we fucking wild crazy. Look at us. You're not doing nothing.
And then it's like, and it's like taking the guard off. And it's like, you know, like not even anything wild.
Yo. But yeah, this reminds me of when straight people say the queers are shoving sexuality in their our kids' faces. And then you do this. So like, which is it? Is it Uchi Wally or what, Mike? What's happening? What the fuck is going on in Tennessee? I'm going to Tennessee in a couple of months. If you have weddings like this, invite me for anthropological research reasons. I'm just trying to see what y'all doing down there. The fuck are y'all doing down there? Lastly, I thought this was more of a kink thing as opposed to a race play kink thing. I thought it was just standard kink. But yeah. I mean, you can never remove that history because that like is our history as like Black people and white people in this country. But like the fact that like they don't care is like, I don't care.
Yeah.
Like they're not trying to,
like I watched,
they're not trying to defend it. They're just like, yeah.
That's what I kind of like that. I kind of like that they're not, like, going like, what do you guys, no, they just like, yeah, this is our wedding. This is what we wanted.
Yeah. They're not saying, oh, it's not racist. Cause like it could be.
Yeah.
They're just like, it is what it is.
Stay silent. Please don't say anything. Because please, once you say something and it becomes something else, then I can't defend you anymore.
But then also, I don't want to hear from these people.
That's true. That's
true. Live your life and I will live mine. All right. Let's get into something worse, huh? This is worse.
Speaking of race play, huh? Yeah, this is that's actually a really good, I don't know why that needs to be like a segue, but it is. I would love for you to play this clip. It's very short.
Okay. All right. Let me.
This is the extent of what I have seen. Backstory here, guys. Yeah. Okay. So I'm scrolling through Instagram as I usually do. I'm a big Shade Room person. So I know a lot of things that are happening with celebrities. Okay. Funny enough, I don't know if Sam knows this, but there was a clip that was about Mano. But does Sam know that we used to record in the same studio as Mano? So yeah, we met Mano and everything. So, you know, Stan seems like a cool dude. Not that he's not a cool dude after this.
I was like, aren't you Mano? And he was like, actually, that's a different guy. I go by Jermaine. And I was like, okay, you've taken off the mask. And that seems to be what he's doing in general these days. He's really showing.
Yeah, he's showing his real self.
I also want to say, I didn't say it on some like, aren't you Beto? Like, we were trying to ignore him.
Yeah, we were.
And he was like, ladies.
Okay.
So I was like, I'm just going to make sure
it was you with me because I was like, I know this. Yeah. Like, I've seen this person before. Like, yeah. He was like,
he'd just be popping up.
Yeah.
He's a very local New York rapper.
Yeah. So this is, I'm scrolling through because I want to do the whole thing, right? So.
Okay.
I'm scrolling through and I'm like, oh, this is interesting. He likes to play. We'll see what his kink is. He talks about his kink on my podcast. It's a lot of podcast clips now. Anyway, but so I Google his name and Google Runaway Slave. And I'm expecting the first thing to do is going to be the clip that's like surfacing. And now, you know, people are watching it. But it's the song by Mano called Runaway Slave. So I just thought this had to be talked about because he clearly has something to say. And he's been talking about it for years now. So you can play the clip.
Okay, here's the clip. This is from Lip Service Podcast.
Okay, yeah.
so wrong.
It's so wrong. I'm going to tell you right now. I've never talked about this.
Uh-oh.
Ah, shit. Dun, dun,
dun. I like to be like a runaway slave.
Okay, no.
Man, oh, shit. Oh, my God.
I like to play like a runaway slave.
Okay.
I like to play like a disobedient slave with a white woman.
So tell me like what you say.
Yes, master. I'm sorry.
It's two of them. Like, it's like me getting whooped, right?
You get whooped?
It's like I play like you whipping. But most of them don't want to play like that. This
yeah, I was gonna say, what white woman goes along with this?
They don't want to play like that. They don't. Okay. This is my. It's like, listen, you're gonna act like your master's. Your master's wife.
And I'm the runaway.
And I just got whooped by massa for eyeballing you. Oh. But the whole time you've been really, you know, you like it. Anyway. You've been eyeballing me.
Oh, this sounds like some freaky porn. I'm interested.
Right, this is some freaky shit. And then I'm gonna come all sweaty, right? Just finished getting whooped. And you're gonna say, no, Billy Joe, no. No, Billy Joe, no. Master's not gonna like it. He's not gonna like it. That's what you know you want it, man. This is his whole script. Yeah, his whole script.
So that's, you know, granted, okay, no kink shaming. And to be, I'm a divorce and stuff. Sometimes I'd be like, you know, there's like a taboo situation kind of makes it a little hotter. It's the delivery. It's the delivery and the fact that like I could tell my man's is under something, or maybe this is just how he is, but you feel a little like maybe you didn't want to say this time. And it was.
I do think he was trying. He knew that this would be a viral moment and he did not.
You think so? You think he leaned into it?
No, I think he was trying to not do it because he thought it was going to be a viral moment.
Yes, yes,
and,
yes.
And yeah, a not good viral moment for him, but a good viral moment for the podcast.
Because, of course. Look, of course. So. They get to be like, whoa, that's what he said.
Yeah. Breaking news on Lip Service podcast. Mina likes to play like a runaway slave.
I was reading the lyrics for Runaway Slave, and it was just like, because he also has a track from 2009 called Runaway Slave.
That's so stressful.
And it's just repeating, I feel like a runaway slave for several different reasons. But I can't help but think, does he put it on?
You know, I got a song. That's actually his opener.
I got a song. He's just like, to like set the mood,
white,
y'all.
Like, you know, as I said, Mado is a very local rapper. Some white bitch who's visiting from Tennessee, hey, does not know who the fuck Mado is. Probably doesn't. So they're in the club or whatever. I'm a rapper, by the way.
Just so you know.
One of my favorite tracks is actually called Runaway Slave, which I like to do in the bedroom. By the way,
that's a good segue. But then it's also funny because I think about like the fact that he like openly said that like most people are just like not with it, so he's just like he's just holding on to it, and I'm like, I know, he's like, yo, just what do you call him, Billy Joel or something like that? That was his.
Didn't say Billy Joel.
It's not even like a, it's not a name that I would have chosen, but yeah, I just thought it was just like a good moment of like, I don't want to kink shame, so that's why I'm like, I'm trying not to, but it's just like, okay, race play is a thing. But
don't know, bro.
I don't know how to do it.
Nothing.
Exactly.
I have nothing good to say. I think a better perspective would come from someone who is like in the lifestyle and some dom sub shit, first of all,
mm-hmm.
which like I'm not.
Yeah.
And who is black and who is, I don't know, a woman, because just like as a black man, there's like a particular dynamic there where they both like, both black men and white women can subjugate black women.
Yeah.
So just like, I don't know.
I don't want to touch it with a 10-foot pole.
Yeah,
I don't.
It's just like,
I just wanted y'all to know this is what's happening at the same time as you're eating your dinners.
All right, I think I have the perfect palate cleanser for that.
Perfect.
He humped a male dog. The owner said, this dog must be gay.
All right, let's move on into our next segment. It is called Animals Do Be Gay, though. It's a segment where we acknowledge and discuss the diverse sexual identities of animals. Today, we're going to learn a bit about American bisons. This information is from Wikipedia, and also, which cites out this guy, Bruce Begemil, but also it's going to directly come from an article written by Bruce Begemil. And if you don't remember, Bruce Begemil is a biologist and author of, you don't remember, because that episode actually happened on Patreon. God, I'm so sorry. But he is a biologist and the author of Biological Exuberance, Animal Homosexuality, and Natural Diversity. So a lot of the things we know about gay animals that we often mention on this segment comes from his research.
Nice.
So I was just, you know, trying to get like ideas for this segment. So I was going through list of gay animals, and I stumbled across a Wikipedia posting that said courting, mounting, and full anal penetration between bulls has been noted to occur among American bison. The Mandan Nation Opeka Festival concludes with a ceremonial enactment of this behavior to ensure the return of the buffalo in the coming season. So before I talk about that festival a little bit, I just think it's so important that full anal penetration is happening. Because before, like in the Patreon episode, we talked about bats, you know, like doing mutual masturbation and things like that. And sometimes that can be misconstrued as, or I don't know, it could be read a whole bunch of ways. You could just say like, oh, they're grooming each other or something like that. But for this,
it's like no,
there's no
mistakes.
Parsing words. Yeah. With fucking niggas in the ass.
It's there.
Yeah.
It says it. Full.
Yeah. It's happening in nature.
I did think what was half, but you know, full anal penetration. So we're good.
Half anal penetration. Just the tip anal
just
penetration.
The tip. That doesn't even count. Now we got full. We know.
We know animal. I think that is like the definitive animals do be gay though.
Well, the next sweater will just say full anal penetration and nothing else.
Oh, wait.
And a bull.
Riding
two bulls.
Bull.
Yeah, two bulls. There you go. So we,
let me hear that, Robbio. Start illustrating right now. I'm ready to wear that everywhere. Oh my God. I got into a car accident a couple of weeks ago, and it was with a Jamaican guy, like an older Jamaican guy. Not saying all Jamaican people are homophobic, obviously, but like of the demographic, he very may well could have been. The accident was my fault, and I was wearing my big ass animals to be gay shirt.
He was like, of course. Of course.
I was like, this is humiliating.
You.
So funny. All right. Let's move on to this festival. So in the year 2000, Bruce Begemil published an article in Whole Earth, which is a scientific publication. And it said, among the Mandan, a Siouan people of North Dakota, a spectacular religious festival known as Opeka was held annually for at least 5 centuries until the late 1800s to ensure the success of the buffalo hunt and to dramatize Mandan cosmology. The festival culminates with male dancers dressed as bison bulls and a clown-like figure called Okahide, adorned with a buffalo tail and pelt and wielding an enormous wooden phallus. Okahide simulates anal intercourse with the male bison by mounting them from behind in the attitude of a buffalo bull in rutting season. He erects and inserts his wooden phallus under each dancer's animal hide, even imitating the characteristic thrusting leap the bison make when ejaculating, which sounds wild.
They're just in it. That's why I think that's why I'm like, wow. They're like,
yeah. The Mandan believe that this ceremonial homosexuality helps ensure the return of the buffalo in the coming season. A little bit more from Wikipedia. Also, mounting of one female by another, known as bullying, that's interesting though, because like I'll bleep bullying. The second half of this, but like lesbians are not traditionally, but like a whole old slur for lesbians is like bull. So I'd wonder where that comes from. I don't know. Is extremely common among cattle. The behavior is hormone driven and synchronizes with the emergence of estrus or heat, particularly in the presence of the bull. And then going back to the article for just a little bit. In addition, many indigenous languages show specific detailed vocabulary about intersex animals and their behavior. Intersexual bison, for instance, are named by some Native American peoples. The Lakota refer to them as Twe Winkte, Twe meaning buffalo and Wingte designating two spirit, thereby drawing an explicit parallel between transgender and animals and people.
Nice.
Isn't that cool? Wow.
That was a good palate cleanser because now I'm smiling. So I'm like, hey, that's nice.
I'm so happy. I'm so happy that we got away from that.
Yeah, we were on a different path for a little bit, y'all, but we're back. We're back to good wholesome stuff.
Yeah, we were in the rough. Yeah, shout out to the indigenous OG biologists of the world who knew what it was before white supremacist patriarchal capitalism imposed rigid and false assumptions about sexuality on humans and animals.
Yeah, I love that. I love when there's a word for everything.
Yeah.
So when I see like there's a word for it and it gets more and more specific, I'm like, yeah, because we need to acknowledge its existence and it's good. Like, you know what I mean? So yeah, that's nice. Shout out to the indigenous folks.
Yeah, yeah. All right, let's end on another happy note, right? Black China was tiger pum pum. Kylie Jenner used PR pum pum. Get a tiger from China pum. So China does be tiny brother pum. All right, let's go on to our next and last segment of the day. It's called Fuck Me. It's about our sexual, romantic, and our dating lives. And Rebecca's talking about polyamory.
I am, y'all. I like to give the folks updates. And this is like, obviously on the show, like I've discovered polyamory and like been exploring it. I was exploring in my last relationship. I was exploring this one. And like, I don't know. I had a moment where like, should I take that out of my intro? Because I felt like I almost like I was being performative, but not really, because I have done it in practice, but I don't know. So in my last relationship, it was me who suggested, well, granted, we had initially agreed on being polyamorous, but then I talked about like, or if I haven't, whatever, this is just how it went. The trajectory of the relationship was initially we were polyamorous, and then over like isolation, is the word isolation?
Lockdown, quarantine, lockdown. The early days of COVID.
There was obviously, like, for me anyway, there was no way for me to practice it because I'm, like, a very, like, let's meet in person and, like, nobody was doing that, et cetera, et cetera. There was a person I was talking to, but, like, it wasn't really like that. So I kind of, like, went into this this monogamy that I didn't really, like, have a problem with at the time. But then when I had met another person, I was like, oh, let's, like, continue our polyamory thing. And it had become an issue. So in my current relationship, I was like, yeah, I'm still open to polyamory. And I noticed that I don't know if me personally, but it felt like I was doing or actively being polyamorous because I felt a scarcity in my relationship before. And I was trying to like, cause I always felt like one person shouldn't be everything for everyone. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, oh, okay, like these are the things that you are. And I love those things about you. And these are the things that I love about this person. And then combined, we make the ultimate for me. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like everyone's happy. But then in my current relationship, like, I don't know, it felt like polyamory would be, I almost felt like it would be taking away. And I didn't understand where that was coming from. And I know that it's because right now I feel very fulfilled. And it felt like, well, what else am I looking for? Which is strange because it's like, well, that's not what polyamory is about. And that's not how I ever viewed it. Go ahead.
I think that like, yeah, that's not what polyamory is about. But also, it kind of reminds me of last episode when I was talking about the asexuality book.
Yes.
And how one thing I really appreciated was that she said asexuality is not like a rigid thing. And you don't have to like pledge allegiance to asexuality. And if you feel a little bit differently at some points in time, that's not bad or you being disloyal. It's just like that's a word that helps you label your feelings and navigate society. And it's a tool. And I feel like polyamory could be that same thing, you know? Like I used to say that I was polyamorous and then I switched over to ethical non-monogamy because I just felt differently.
Yeah. So, and that's where I think I'm at, because I'm like, and also with like, I've been exploring like demisexuality because I realized that like during the time that I was single, if I didn't feel that connection, and I started thinking about the times that I really like enjoyed sex and I felt like I was like actively participating as opposed to like, this is something to do and I'm just doing it. It's always been like when I felt like that connection or when I felt something and I was like, oh, that's interesting because I never really thought about that before Rob was talking about it and before Koo was talking about it. And I've always felt like it resonated with me, but it's like, I don't know. I think I brought this up to say it's interesting that I still revert back to if I'm not actively practicing something or if I'm not like, if I'm not actively practicing something or if I have my moments where like I have this doubt for some reason in my brain, I still go like, okay, then maybe I was just performing it this whole time. Maybe I'm not this person. And I'm like, I guess I wanted to say that like in questioning it, I still realize that that's something I'm open to. And that's something that if like the feelings were there, like I would definitely like go down that path. And I just want to say, you know, if you're not actively doing something, it doesn't minimize like you were exactly what you said, like in the book, or it doesn't make it feel like just because you found the word for something and it resonated with you at this time, if you change your mind or something like that, it's still all valid. You know what I mean? And that's word. That was like a moment where I really felt like I was lying to myself, but I was like, where'd that come from? And where'd any of this come from? Because I have been practicing it and I was happy. And like, there's moments where I wasn't. It just felt like, I don't know, just interesting to think that like there's so many things can be in flux, specifically something that I felt so strongly about at one point. And now it's like, I don't know what's going on with that. Yeah.
I think that like our society, but it's
society.
True,
yes.
Makes like, or has made our ways of living and being very rigid. And to escape from that, we've carved out all sorts of things, you know, like Inner Hoa Uprising is a carving out of like, okay, like don't define us sexually or whatever.
Yeah.
And sometimes like in the early days of the show, it'd be like, okay, do I have to like go out and like date people and have sexual experiences to have fodder for the show? But yeah. It's like, no, because that's just like packing myself in a box, even though it's a different box, it's still like limiting my ways of being and stuff like that. So I think that in trying to define ourselves outside of the things that are defined as normal, we can like redefine ourselves and we don't need to do that. Like I just said with the whole fucking Mano thing, and I'm not into like DS relationships, but like I was a couple of seasons ago, like a couple of years ago, but I don't think I was faking it then. I'm just not into it anymore.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Thank you. That's why I brought it up. Just because it was
that's
just
important.
Like,
that's important.
Yeah. I felt inauthentic. And then I had to like challenge that and also say like, if you're listening, like if people are going through something similar and you feel like, am I even like this person? It's like, nah, you are, bro. Like, even if you're not like, just.
You're mad different people.
Yeah,
in your life.
Yeah.
You're still
yeah.
the same person, but like many different people encompass you. Like,
yeah.
You right now was not you 5 years ago. Won't be you in five
Thank
years.
Thank God.
Damn.
Thank
I
God.
Knew her, and I like them, so yeah, like, don't be dissing old Rebecca. That was my homie.
I appreciate that, bro. I appreciate that. But yeah, that's pretty much it. That's nice. All it was. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Well, if you at home are redefining things about your life or whatever, or not defining, maybe you're just going loosey goosey and seeing where life takes you. Write in ihupodcast@gmail.com. All right, that's an episode, huh?
Yeah, it is, huh?
If this episode made you laugh, helped you learn something, made you feel good, made you question yourself in a good way, or positively moved you in any sense, please leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify and let everyone you know that you love these hoes. We appreciate all of you.
Yeah, and if you would like to follow us on social media, you can do so at Inner Hoa Uprising without the G on Twitter, Inner Hoa Uprising on Instagram and Facebook, and you can head to innerhoauprising.com to pay a hoa to cop some merch. And if you would like to follow me, you can at The Darkest Timeline on Instagram.
I'm SlamRid on Instagram and Twitter. That's all for now. We're taking a break next week. If you want to not hear that break, patreon.com/innerhoauprising. It's in the show notes. All right. Have a lovely motherfucking 2 weeks because you deserve to.
Bye.
Bye.